The hazards of using the stock market to judge the health of the real economy. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, oil was down again today to about $30 a barrel. Karen Cavanaugh, market strategist at Voya Investment Management, is here with some context. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So stock prices have been following oil prices of late. Crude oil down again. You think that's what's wrong on the stock market today?
Well, that has been the story for quite some time. But I think what we've seen in the last couple of days is not really oil, but it was that jobs report we got on Friday. It was a pretty good jobs report. The unemployment rate ticked down to 4.9%. We had labor participation tick up, and we had jobs added actually in manufacturing. So I think the fact that the jobs report was solid, that scared investors a little bit in that maybe a rate hike is in the foreseeable future. I think it's still going to be difficult for the March timeframe, but there could potentially be a rate hike on the table.
I see. So the perverse logic of some investors. All right, it's great that the labor market is stronger. However, maybe not so great. That means higher interest rates could come sooner rather than later scenarios.
Absolutely. And we've seen that over the last couple of years where bad news is good news and good news is bad news, where we think, well, if things are really bad, then we'll have the Fed step in and they'll be our backstop. We could even see more stimulus. And because of that, I think investors get into that mode where, wow, you know, if things are good and we do have that hike in interest rates, it will be more tightening. On the other hand, we also have the ECB is looking at potentially more stimulus. I think that's what's going on in the investor's mind, and that's what we saw on Friday and what we're going to see today as well.
Karen Cavanaugh at Voya Investment Management, thank you for this.
You're very welcome.
So market players see the labor market as perhaps strong enough to prompt another rise in interest rates soon. But the youngest people in the U.S. labor force still face an uphill battle. Unemployment among 16 to 19-year-olds is at 16%, and that's among those who are looking. The Obama administration wants to bring that rate down and will offer an idea that's part of the president's budget proposal tomorrow. Nova Safo has the story.
The job market is competitive enough, but for those between 16 and 24 years old, not in school and looking for a job, it's even harder.
They're having trouble getting to the first interview.
Thaddeus Ferber of the Forum for Youth Investment says most hiring managers don't give young people with thin resumes a second glance.
It's not easy finding a champion inside of a company who's willing to buck the trend. There's a lot of stigma and also a lot of playing it safe.
The case for hiring young workers would be easier, Ferber says, if the Obama administration's plans were enacted. That's because they include employer incentives, some $6 billion on things like subsidizing a part of young workers' wages and the costs of on-the-job training programs. Carl Van Horn leads the Center for Workforce Development at Rutgers. He says there were similar efforts for young people in the mid-70s.
A lot of the research on these strategies was conducted back then and showed that they were effective.
Now the president is once again proposing a major effort to help young workers looking for their first shot. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, the New Hampshire primary, then South Carolina. Earlier this year, several Republican candidates met in South Carolina to discuss poverty. Speaker Paul Ryan co-moderated that event, and recently the Obama administration designated six counties in South Carolina as a promise zone. The goal is to make a dent in intergenerational poverty. And of all things, a wastewater treatment facility saw an opportunity. Caitlin Esch from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk went to South Carolina to learn more.
Just 5,000 people live in the towns of Hampton and Varnville, and anytime a toilet flushes, that water comes here to a wastewater treatment plant proudly managed by Cindy Moberly.
I love showing off my plant.
It's an aerated lagoon system, a totally organic process that relies on bacteria and microbes to break down waste. It looks like a series of ponds, and it smells vaguely marshy.
It's kind of pretty.
It really is. And it makes you feel good because I have a lot of wildlife here. As you see here, I have six ducks. We call them the six pack.
But this plant also needs some work. The ponds are supposed to be cleaned out every decade or so, but it's been more than 20 years.
You see how the plants have taken over? That's because there's sludge in there and the roots are setting in.
But finding money to remove the sludge has been a challenge. Then last year, the Obama administration designated a rural stretch of South Carolina, including Hampton County, a promise zone. In this region, almost a third of all people live in poverty. So for the next 10 years, the area will be prioritized for federal grants and loan packages. Lowcountry Regional Water System won $8.3 million in grants and loans to finally clean out the ponds. Danny Black is president and CEO of Southern Carolina Regional Development Alliance. It's his job to lure businesses to rural South Carolina. He says infrastructure matters.
So if the water and sewer is not there, you may be considered for a few minutes, but that's about it.
And with an unemployment rate of almost 13%, this rural county is desperate to attract industry, says Carrie Foy, an engineer with Lowcountry Regional Water System.
I think everyone in Hampton County is crossing their fingers that we'll get, you know, a big employer, someone that can employ 300, 500, or even 1,000 people. That would be huge to this county.
Foy estimates by clearing out the ponds, the plant's capacity will increase by up to 30%. So fix infrastructure first, and hopefully jobs will follow. In South Carolina, I'm Caitlin Esch for Marketplace.
And if the boss gripes about that calculation making the rounds today of $1 billion in lost productivity with so many people calling in sick after the Super Bowl, remind them of that study from a few weeks ago. 41% of Americans did not take even a single vacation day last year. That's in part due to all the employees at companies that do not pay for any days off. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.